Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, welcome back to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 273, Full House, the aftermath of WrestleMania. Lots to talk about, guys, but of course, people aren't going to want to know about that. They're going to know how your weeks have been. So, Matt, first of all, how have you been, buddy?
Oof, that's a loaded subject. times are changing at Castle Lewis. More information about that next week. But things have been relatively good. Been a lot of tears because I've watched a lot of wrestling, which has made me in touch with my emotions this week. More on that in Good Cop and Bad Cop, of course. Aside from something that, apart from Redacted, which Ryan will let us talk about, of course, yesterday, Graham, made me want to scream. So I'd like to hand over to the man beast, Rhino.
What did I do?
Nothing yet.
Am I redacting things?
It redacted because you wanted to talk about soccer. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, that's stupid. Yeah, all you listening out there in Radio Land who are like, I love soccer. Yeah, it's dumb. Dumb.
But how's your week been, though, Ryan? Or how is your journey into 2000 going?
No, I did a little bit a couple weeks back, but you know, as you're going into WrestleMania, you already know how much wrestling you're going to be watching. So I tend to not watch a lot of wrestling in the weeks prior and the weeks after, other than whatever's going on, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, whatever. I watched a lot of TV in general. It's been a busy week in general. Obviously the weekend was, I think I was doing what everyone else was doing and watching as much possible content that I could. But yeah, no, it's I give my past 2 weeks, I guess, because I wasn't here last week, a solid C+.
Okay, fair enough. I had a 3-day week, Graham? Which was...
Is that good?
I'm sorry?
As a teacher, is that good, C+? I'm not sure.
It's all right.
It's mediocre at best.
Would it be a pass or not?
Yes, it would be a pass.
Then that's fine, then.
Yeah, in America, the only failing grade is F.
What?
Yeah, it's... So it doesn't make... Well, anything below a D. They don't technically have an E grade. But yeah, when they get... Because the school that I'm at, we actually teach some of the British curriculum, and they take some of those exams that we take in England. So they're recognized all around the world. And then when they get their certificates through and it says like a grade E, then they're like, oh, I failed. I'm like, no, you got a grade E. So it's very confusing. But no, C+ is, could be better, but yeah, it's in the middle.
Okay, cool.
Check minus.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough. How has your week been, though?
I was going to say, it's not been bad. It's been a 3-day week of sorts. The fourth day, I was in school, but there was no students.
I'm kidding, Graham. You can't play it in the intro.
You can play it whenever you like. Matt showed his STFU card, by the way. The fourth day was, it's the end of the third quarter, so we were getting grades finalized and little bits of training and that sort of stuff. But it's always better with it's always easy to get work done when there's no kids around. So it was good to kind of get all that stuff kind of all wrapped up. But yeah, heading into the fourth quarter, 40 days of school left until the summer. The end is in sight. The trip to Omaha is definitely on the horizon. And yeah, it's all good. And the other thing we did have one actual day off, but I won't talk about that because that'll be the upcoming episode of JGB Sports.
Absolutely.
Gotta do a little promotion.
Well, why not, indeed. I had something I was going to say, but you completely lost my train of thought because you talked about more interesting things. Never mind.
I'm surprised I didn't lose my train of thought with you throwing that little card out. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I could have talked about disc golf, but I was like, I'm not going to do that.
I'm not getting involved with that.
I kept it away from that. I could have mentioned that, but I didn't.
I tried watching golf this week, Graham.
Because it's the Masters?
Well, I figured, like, I'm 40 this year. That's when you start watching golf, apparently.
Sky watching.
No, I would much rather watch disc golf, mainly because you haven't got to actually get it in a hole. You've got to hit a pole. Meister, still in my life, I'd never go for a hole. I would go for a pole.
You've been working on that line all week, haven't you? Should we go to Good Cop Moments? I think we got the episode title sorted. Here, only because he got so pissed the other week when we didn't pick him first, even though there was, I didn't pick. You had a guest on, pissed. Didn't get picked first. I think it's got to be Rhino to go first. What do you got for us, buddy?
People getting pissed.
And I know he doesn't have anything prepared either, so I'm not giving him time to think.
Yeah, no, good cop, bad cop. That part's easy. Speed Check's going to be a shit show. I mean, devil's advocate. I might as well just leave. But anywho, so my good cop moment is something that I've brought up in the past, and allegedly it is official. Cue Adam Pierce. Thank you, Adam. If someone doesn't cut that in, I'm gonna be very pissed. But anyways, there are reports that the minimalist set that was used WrestleMania weekend for Raw, SmackDown, and NXT will be the new set going forward. And that makes me happy because I understand, like, it's great having that big screen to see all the promos and video packages and all that jazz when you're live in the arena. But man, is it an eyesore. It's just a big, sterile... It just doesn't look good. And I never thought it looked good. It at least looked better back when they were doing the big LED screen with variations and there was an actual stage in front of it that they were coming out on. But it's just felt so sterile for so long. I think we all remember the weird ramp stage they had for a while. I think Kevin Owens ran up it to do a senton off of it. And I think that was the only useful thing that ever happened with that set. I like the minimalist set, even if they're not, obviously WrestleMania is winding down, the gates probably won't be like they were in the buildup to WrestleMania. Cool. You can hang a black cloth behind it, to cover up the fact that those seats aren't being sold behind the set or whatever. Fine. It's still going to look better than what they had before. And to me, that is a very good cop moment. Gentlemen.
If I may jump in here. At night one press conference of WrestleMania weekend, Triple H actually mentioned a guy by name who's responsible for all this stuff. I think his name's Lee something.
Lee Fittings.
Yeah. Appropriate. I mean, the thing is they changed the features and fittings on a base. And I'm like, he's right to get his flowers. You've mentioned it so much the last month or so, Ryan. This guy has literally changed what WWE looks like and how it feels. Long may it continue. It's little tweaks here and there sort of thing, but they're making a big impact.
And I think Mr. Levesque also pointed out that they're trying things, they're testing things. When things work, they make them permanent fixtures. When they don't work, they move on. And I think that's a really great mentality, and a mentality that was not shared by him and Nick Khan's predecessor, someone who said, nope, we're gonna do it this way. I like it. We're gonna do it. Trust me. I'm not naming names, and I don't think that voice gave it away.
The first show on the board?
Vincent J. McMahon. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Actually, they weren't a publicly traded company, so that joke doesn't even work. But yeah, no, it's just, it makes me happy. Like, it's not so much of an eyesore. And I will even go as far to say, while this is not a complete overall statement, but some of the advertising over WrestleMania weekend didn't seem to stand out as much as it used to. Big case in point, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Luchador match,
yeah,
or the Ruffles Women's match. Like, those advertisements felt so in your face because they were bright and they were white. They popped. Whereas I feel like, you know, some of the stuff they did over WrestleMania weekend was more subtle. Mum in colors and more, yeah, subtle. And for NXT, when they didn't even have the LED barricades, they hung small banners on the barricades for the promoted matches.
Also.
And I was like, if you're going to complain about that, but you're not going to complain about the fact that we saw the Ico Pro banner for like every Monday Night Raw for 3 years, you're not paying attention. And there were a couple that did stand out, and every single one that stood out was because it had very bright light colors that were popping in contrast to everything else, which is very dark. You know, but again, I think part of it is it's part of television now. And it's been part of television for a long, long time. You know, now, Graham, I know that some movies you just hate, even though they're classics. Have you seen the film?
I didn't know that you knew about my bad film takes.
I do know about your bad film takes. Have you seen the film Wayne's World?
Oh, absolutely. Classic.
So there's
that. He had hair then, Ryan.
I would have been, use an American phrase, I think I would have been a sophomore. Was it 91 or 93 that came out?
Good question. 92. 93.
Oh, 92? Okay. Yeah, I would have been a junior then.
Yeah. So, and they've got that great scene where he's talking about not being a corporate shill while drinking Pepsi and then looking at the camera. And then all of a sudden he's got a full box of like Pizza Hut pizza he's eating. Like, you know... And they were making fun of that in the 90s. So, like, it is what it is. That's not my good cop moment, so I'm not going to go on any more about it. But it's just the whole presentation has been really phenomenal lately.
I'm going to piggyback off that again. Another bad example of that, Space Jam, one of my favorite films of the 90s. I don't know if I know Graham watched Space Jam 2, and I don't know what his thoughts of it were, good or bad, can't quite remember what he thought in the middle sort of thing. Space Jam 1 is a modern day classic to a lot of people. The amount of advertising they do in that, because they literally list every single one of MJ's bloody endorsements. Get your hands on, lace it in Nikes, grab your something and pick up a Big Mac and wait to the ballpark. I'm like, what? I mean, like, how much did all these companies pay for advertising in that film, I wonder?
Lots.
Absolutely. Also, how much did we not notice the Prime logo in the ring?
I was going to come in, but you put your finger up again. I was like, I guess I don't get a chance to speak at all, but you need to come in for a second time before I even get one fucking time. But no, I'm really upset with myself because Jackson's definitely a Prime boy and he always gets at least one bottle a week. And that was my intention to bring that downstairs and as you were talking. And I totally forgot to do it this time. But yeah, it was very understated, actually. When I heard about that, I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit too hard into the back of my head. It wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad. Compared to some of the boxing matches that you see, like they got the whole thing. It was nowhere near as like that. I don't watch UFC, so I'm not quite sure how much advertising they have. But it was very understated, actually.
Lots.
So no, I actually was impressed with how they did that, how they handled it. It wasn't as over the top. It wasn't as in your face as what we've seen in previous shows, for sure.
It wasn't a busy report.
And I think that is another opportunity where Triple H pivoted, because they did that reveal on SmackDown and it was the bright purple Prime bottle in the middle of the ring. And everyone went, oh my God, it's gaudy. It's an eyesore. And I like to think that Triple H went, okay, well, what if we do monochrome? It's really just the outline with the writing in the middle of it. And then we put them on, you know, the top and bottom turnbuckles. I barely noticed it.
Yeah. I had to look for it to see it.
And that's the kind of, you know, a lot of people were, you know, WWE has never had on canvas advertising. How dare they? How dare? Yeah, but every other wrestling promotion has done it. So it's not that big of a deal. WCW did it. TNA did it. AEW does it. Ring of Honor did it. New Japan does it. Who fucking cares, man? It's a problem because it's Logan Paul. But honestly, Graham, I agree with you 100%. It wasn't that bad.
One thing I loved is every time someone outside the ring over the two nights, every chance they got, they destroyed the hydration station at ringside. And I was like, that's a lot of prime ruined. Excellent. That's fun to me, sort of thing. It was wonderful.
Graham, do you want to ruin Matt's life or do you want me to? Knocking over a sealed bottle of drink doesn't ruin it.
I know, but you know what I mean? If someone, you know, mess up, it's like clean up an R5 sort of thing, you know? It's funny.
Is he confusing the mascot bottle as a real bottle? Like, that definitely got damaged, that's for sure.
That's true.
No. I got one thing to add for advertising. I'm hoping this doesn't impact on anybody else's future moments, but as we're talking about advertising now, and I didn't have this written down. One of the things I like about Raw is when I'm watching it on Sling, I'm skipping through commercials. Like that 3-hour show, it's not 3 hours, not how I watch it anyway. Is this the first week when they've had picture in picture?
No.
No idea.
It's not?
They've had picture.
Every commercial, as far as I could tell, was picture in picture.
It's not usually every commercial, but they've done picture in picture. I think they're doing it more now.
Because it seemed like everyone, because I was like, oh, am I supposed to? I was torn. Like, do I need to watch it? And I couldn't. I can't concentrate on that. It was like, I don't know if it's the ADD in me or something, but it was like, no, I can't do this. I just had to skip through it.
And I'm the same way. I'm like, oh my God, Ricochet's doing something. Domino's? Yeah, man. Pizza sounds good. Yep. Like, yeah, no, I'm glad that they do it, because there's going to be commercials one way or the other. And I'm sure there are plenty of people who can focus on the in-ring action. I'm just not one of them. And like, it is what it is. I'll usually play on my phone and then look up every now and then, because, you know, the referees, they know they're in commercial break. They're not doing big spots. I mean, they may do some big spots, but they're going to show you as soon as they're back from commercial anyways. Like, oh my God, during the commercial break, Ricochet did a 920 suicide plancha twistaroo and he fucking actually murdered someone. And you're like, oh shit, I got to see this.
I love Matt doing his 90 times table right now to figure out what position he finished in.
I'm trying to work it out.
It's roughly three rotations, 360. Just anyways,
yeah, it was 2.5 with an additional 30. I'd worked that instantly, but I was watching you. It was fine.
Yeah, we don't have picture in picture here in the UK.
Oh.
It just goes straight to a full commercial for us over here because we don't have American commercials here.
Blame ITV or whatever you want, Sky Sport Net,
TNT.
Isn't that what Rampage airs on?
And that doesn't air on TNT here. It airs on the Fight or it airs on ITV.
I think you're making stuff up. I don't know. Anyways,
I wouldn't be shocked if they started airing on TNT after Netflix takes it all, of course. Anyway, Graham, you're up.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you were going to go, so I don't have my notes up at all.
No, I've been
Ryan talked about, like, there's just so much stuff that you're going to watch, and I started slow. I'd totally forgotten Thursday night when I came home that it already started on the indie scene, of course. So I was late starting. I don't think I started until Friday, and then I just tried to catch whatever I could. I started with Defy because it looked like it was one of the first ones that was available. Watched some of that. I did quickly go, though, to Josh Bonnet's Bloodsport. We talked about Masha versus Shayna. Obviously, that was one of the matches that I definitely did not want to miss. Savage Gentleman actually opened the card, and Lady Frost was on that show as well. Joey Janela's Spring Break 8, WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2, the Indie Hall of Fame inductions, the regular Hall of Fame inductions as well. I didn't see all of them, but I saw most of them. Man, there was just so much, like Ryan said. There was so much. It was kind of hard to pick. Like, I got to pick my moments. What do I want to see? But the stuff that I saw, it did not disappoint. The indie stuff was really good. I don't think I've really seen Josh Barnett's before. Like, I've been aware of it, but it's one that hasn't really got my attention. But this year it did, just because of that one match. So I definitely wanted to see that part. And the places were packed. The crowds were so into it. And kind of reminded me, Matt, 5 years ago, it was like, these events can be really fun. You have those unusual matches that you wouldn't normally get. They put those blockbuster matches together. They get the big names together. They get the complete opposites together. You were like, holy shit, I never even thought about putting those two people together. You get people from one side of the world coming into somebody on this side of the world as well. You get the young versus the old. You get the male versus... There were so many different combinations within that. I couldn't watch whole events. I did have to kind of pick and choose at certain points, just go in between to watch. But there was so much to watch. And it's a pretty lame good cop moment, but holy crap, what a week. Like, then, even if I had just said I watched WrestleMania Night 1 and WrestleMania Night 2, like, that's still quite a big chunk of wrestling. But to fit some of those other indie shows in there as well. And a lot to watch, but the stuff that I watched, I really enjoy watching. And I, like Ryan, I watched a lot of TV this week. The only way, the reason I was going to bring up disc golf, that was kind of my, okay, I'm watching a lot of TV. I need to get out and do some exercise. So it would be like, go and play around. In fact, one day I played a round of disc golf, came back, watched some wrestling, and then was like, oh shit, I need to go and do another round because then I need to watch WrestleMania afterwards. So yeah, a lot of sport. In between the wrestling, but yeah, fun times. It was a great week overall. I know your main good cop moment is going to be to review every single match in night one and night two. That was why I just listed everything rather than talking about specific matches. But go ahead, Matt. What's your main?
No, well, hold on.
Sorry, Ryan. I forgot rebuttal on a main moment. I apologize.
I wanted to really agree. Even if you're just watching WWE, there is so much. Yeah. There's, you know, because I, so like Friday, I start, so Thursday I did the same thing. I did Bloodsport. And then Friday, while I was working, Pat McAfee was live from WWE World. And so all his guests were, you know, Cody and Triple H and Gunther and Rhea, and just like it was 3 hours of him just essentially talking to those who were going to be performing at WrestleMania. And then, you know, between that and SmackDown starting, I threw on Wrestling Revolver versus House of Glory, and it was in a church.
I know.
And I was literally, because it was that was on, but also something was ending at the Collective and then Progress was starting. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll check out Progress. And I flipped over. I'm like, yeah, but it's not in a church. And so I went back. That moment,
not in a church.
And I was just like, dude, I really want to watch. Like, I like Wrestling Revolver a lot. I think they put on... I think because everyone says, oh, GCW is the next ECW. No. Wrestling Revolver is, because it's grungier. It's a little more rock and roll. It's Sammy Callahan. Like, that's what you get when Sammy Callahan books a promotion. You get rock and roll. You get Zack Ryder getting put through a flaming table. You get cool shit. But yeah, but you know, and then And then Saturday rolls around and like, oh, okay. Oh, got NXT. Got to watch Sand and Deliver. Okay. Got a couple hours. Oh shit. WrestleMania. Oh, Sunday. Oh, Sunday's pretty slow, but then you got WrestleMania. It's just nonstop. And I love it. I always say it's my favorite week of the year, or at least favorite weekend of the year. Cause it's just, it's a love letter to wrestling.
Ryan, I did not get to see the NXT event. I was about an hour and a half away with Jackson at a disc golf tournament. Could you give me like a summary? I have not had a chance to see anything. I haven't really heard people talking about it. What would be like kind of your quick speed check moments, I guess, for just that particular event?
Summary. It was a really, really fun NXT show. It honestly kind of reminded me of Black and Gold NXT shows. It was really fast-paced, really hard-hitting. The one downfall was they made Trick and Mello to be the next Gargano Ciampa, and it was not. And I think had they not leaned into how this could be the biggest rivalry in NXT history, it would probably been a lot better. But none of that matters. None of it matters because the North American Championship was defended in a triple threat match between Obafemi, who for someone who's so new, he showed up. He is going to be a huge, no pun intended, big man for that company, versus Josh Briggs versus Dijak. That match was brilliant. It was probably my favorite match of the weekend. It was so good. I mean, probably biased because, you know, Dijak and Briggs, I've been seeing them in a bar in Worcester for years. So, but it was honestly, even if you don't watch the whole thing, just go watch that match. It was so good. Okay.
Makes me watch it later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just it was.
Was it the main event?
No, it was like the second match on the card.
Oh wow! Okay,
can happen, can't it? Can
the NXT way. Title didn't even main event. The main event was Trick and Mello again. Why I think that was the wrong move, because Dragunov and Tony D'Angelo was a hell of an NXT title match, and I 2 years ago. When Tony D'Angelo kind of wandered onto the scene, and he's like, hey, I'm a mafioso. Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm from Chicago. Bratwurst and whatnot.
Forget about it.
I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Like,
I thought he was Italian, isn't he? He's German.
Yeah, what?
Bratwurst is German.
Yeah, but
you mean like spaghetti or pizza?
I'm getting distracted. I think he's going back to the stereotype.
They eat a lot of bratwurst in Chicago. It's a Midwest thing. Bratwurst, sauerkraut, you know, essentially as German as you can get without being German. Anyways,
we are digressing, and it's not me for a change.
It is.
For asking for a quick summary.
Yeah. When he showed up 2 years ago, I was kind of like, all right, it's neat that they're doing some like old school gimmicks with him because I love a gimmick, like a real gimmick. I never thought that I would be watching an NXT championship match and going, this match is going to fucking rule between him and Ilya Dragunov. But it did. It was a great match. So that's my super short review of NXT Stand to Deliver.
Matt.
Right. Can pretty much sum my good cop moment of the week up with four simple words. I love professional wrestling. Michael Cole with some of the best commentary he's ever done over the course of the weekend, by the way. I mean, pure cinema is how a lot of fans have been calling it on various reaction videos I've been watching. There was something for everything. I mean, people say, like, was this the greatest WrestleMania of all time? Can be argued that one. People will argue that one way or another. I think it's certainly the best one I've had for a while. It was without a shadow of doubt, very well paced for me. There was something for everybody. I wasn't disappointed with anything on the card, which I think may be a first for WrestleMania. Was the main event of night two overbooked? Abso-fucking-lutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. It was like the fucking Avengers turned up. Seriously, I think it was like a who's who of Mount Rushmore of wrestling rocked up at that main event. I didn't give a fuck. I didn't give a fuck because I was in the moment. I think, and bearing in mind, it's only not even a week yet since that event aired. I've watched that main event 7 times, maybe 8 times.
Yeah, you're getting old. Your memory's going. I it's understandable.
For me, that may be because of the amount of story threads they were pulling in. Cena obviously getting taken out of Crown Jewel by Solo, for example. Going back to Cena and Rock back at WrestleMania 28 and 29. Taker rocking up out of nowhere. I mean, that was brilliant. No one saw that coming, obviously. But the best part about the whole weekend is I didn't get spoiled for any of it. And from what I can tell, although there were rumors that some people might show up for this and other, Taker wasn't spoiled at all.
Mm-mm.
And I'm like, it's sometimes, you know, it's brilliant. I mean, Chris asked me, you can tell Chris is starting to understand certain terms because he actually asked me after the end of night two, after the next one, like, was there any Forbidden Door moments last night? I'm like, who are you? I'm married well, is what I'm saying to that one. Fanny, she knows the terms. Like, no, but it didn't need it either. Got to admit, when the Shield music went, I thought, fuck, is Moxie turning up? But no, it was just Seth being Seth. And yeah, I mean, I'll let you guys come in, obviously, but for me, the whole WrestleMania weekend, right from the moment on SmackDown, right through the Monday Night Raw, debuts on Raw, obviously, you know, Hall of Fame on after SmackDown, Heyman dressing up in his full attire as EC from ECW with the phone that he smacked someone in the head with. Fuck, that's a real phone. To the fact that they were letting people say holy shit and fuck and all that sort of stuff. Granted, it's been bleeped out in replays on the network, but it went out live. It didn't bleep it live. Professional wrestling is back. Sports entertainment is dead.
So, first and foremost, I'm going to tell you that you were inexplicably and unequivocally wrong. There was a disappointment. It was Jimmy and Jay. That match was atrocious. How they screwed that up, I don't know. I thought that was so boring. The best thing that they did over the weekend was doing a big old stage bump through some tables.
Got to admit, I thought that I didn't know it first. I didn't see the table at first. Once I saw the replay, I actually saw the tables. I actually thought it was straight to the concrete.
I think the tables were more there for their safety, not for the spot. I think it was more to just go, oh shit, they're gone.
The only good thing perhaps is that it wasn't a long match then, Ryan.
It wasn't. It was WrestleMania this week. Was really great, and I really love how they are billing it in the right way. They're saying it was the biggest WrestleMania of all time, the greatest WrestleMania of all time, but with that asterisk of, hey, it's because of these things. We're not saying it was the best wrestling show. It's not the greatest wrestling match ever. You know, it's this is the greatest and the biggest WrestleMania because of metrics A through D. That's why. And I like that they just came out and said it. It was a lot of fun. I was excited from night one to the end of night two. I was excited. I think that since they've started doing two night WrestleManias, this is the first year where night two was better than night one.
Yes.
And that's by design. And I think they even said it, like, night one, that was just the appetizer, man. And I like that, where night one is kind of your undercard for night two. Great way to do it. Now, unfortunately for someone like Rhea, that kind of sucks, but she opened, and that is a good spot.
It's
on
a
the card.
It's a big deal to open WrestleMania. Big deal.
Yeah. I can't say, I have nothing bad to say because I don't think it's constructive. It was a great WrestleMania, and I'm happy with it.
I have some things that I thought were good, but I put them in speed check. So
okay, that's fine.
I'm prepared to wait for that.
I just had a quick. Although, I mean, Ryan's absolutely right, by the way, about night two being overall better than night one. You mentioned before, Graham, how night one, you preferred that last year, 30 before as well. Even 36, the COVID mania, night one, in my personal opinion, overall, was better than night two.
Thought on this one, night one set the table nicely for night two. Sometimes they felt like very separate nights from each other. This one, that was the thing. After night one, it was like, that was the best result, right, for Cody to try and win, to win night two. That was my big thing afterwards. It was like, right? Like, no more fucking Roman. Like, it's good cop moment sake. That should have just been my main good cop moment. No more fucking Roman.
No more Roman.
It's over. Woo!
I think going forward, what would be a really cool idea for WWE is to run King of the Ring into WrestleMania and have the finals of the King and Queen be on night one, and then those winners face the alternate champion, whoever the Rumble isn't facing, night two.
I like that.
Don't they do that in the Saudi event now, though? Isn't that one of the things that they...
This is the first time they're doing it.
Oh, okay. Oh, it is?
I think they did it last year.
Xavier and Zelina won it out there, yeah.
Okay, but I think that would be a really great way, especially now that Money in the Bank is no longer a WrestleMania thing.
Yeah.
I think there should be something. Now, I'm okay with Elimination Chamber. It's just, I think, Graham, to your point, having something on night one that affects night two, and having that be a permanent staple would be, because that was the beauty of night one, that what we assumed would be kind of some bullshit, whatever tag team match that would have some shenanigans and Cody, it ended up being really good. It set the tone for that main event on night two.
It was a good tag match, wasn't it? It was surprisingly good.
It was also the second longest match in WrestleMania history.
45 minutes almost.
45 minutes, the only longer match.
Does that include the entrances? Or
no,
is that actually
no, that's bell to bell.
Oh, wow.
The only match that's longer is Bret and Shawn's Iron Man match.
Hmm.
Which is crazy, because other than the fact that, can we all raise a glass for the fucking whipping boy of WrestleMania, Seth Rollins? Did nothing but get his ass beat for 2 days straight, for weeks straight, to build to that, only to be the top-notch face that he is and look straight at Drew and said, "You fucking deserve it, man," right before everything went down. Seth Rollins deserves his flowers for taking the bullet for this WrestleMania.
I said way back when on the Mount Rushmore podcast, mate, rest in peace, Seth Rollins was on my Mount Rushmore. That was in 2019. I stand by that. I mean, Seth Rollins will be a Hall of Famer one day. He's won every single fucking championship. He's won Money in the Bank. He's won the Royal Rumble. He has main evented WrestleMania.
First person ever cash in at WrestleMania.
Absolutely. I mean, and I do believe, correct if I'm wrong, he's the only person that Roman's never beaten.
I'm sure there's plenty of people Roman's never beaten.
He's faced, anyway. Roman's faced and hasn't beaten.
I don't think he's beaten Otis. Actually, no, he probably hasn't.
If he faced him, he's beaten him, apart from Seth.
Akira Tozawa.
But yeah, so yeah, it was phenomenal WrestleMania weekend, and that the fact that people are still talking about it, and I've watched some of the reaction videos. I know not a big thing Graham does, but it's something. Obviously, when the volley was about, and we were doing reactions live, sort of thing, people were doing it obviously for the WrestleMania weekend, and now people who popped like mad because of what happened, but the amount of people who were furious Cody won. That because they were Roman Reigns fans, genuine Roman Reigns fans. But I liked that because it elicited a response still. It made you feel something. Whether you were pro Cody or pro Roman, people were invested in this. And wrestling's gonna make you feel something, isn't it?
And don't forget, technically, it's not over yet.
No.
We had the Ram. Tonight we have the Sam, and that's still something.
And they've got the draft soon as well.
So,
and the draft actually means something, I think, with Triple H now running the ball pit.
Reading good. Good.
Professional wrestling is good. We've made professional wrestling great again.
All right, someone please edit that out.
I'm sorry. He's not editing his own comments out. You know that's not happening.
Ryan, your speed check, sir, when you are well and truly ready.
The way they did Priest Cashin, I thought was brilliantly done because they gave it this long period of time. Usually the person cashes in pretty quickly after the person gets handed the belt. And they gave it, since they did that whole Punk thing, absolutely loved it. Masterful cash in. Thought it was fantastically done. And if you go back to listen to older episodes, it's exactly what I said was going to happen. So that's another point to me. Charlie Dempsey appearing on Bloodsport as a surprise and then bringing up the fact that he competed at Bloodsport on NXT this week. Absolutely love it. The fact that a GCW show was brought up on NXT. Awesome. I am glad that Stephanie seems to be back in the fold. I like Stephanie. I have no reason not to, and I think she cares. So having her insight, especially with the women's division, will hopefully be really good. I don't know what she's doing. There's no official confirmation that she's back, but having her come out, that's the last one. The fact that the run sheet for WrestleMania Night 2 had her segment listed as a Triple H segment, so nobody knew Stephanie was going to go out there. And I love that. I absolutely love that because that was a fun surprise. And she has a new theme song, and it's pretty cool. I like her new theme song. But yeah, that's it. Speed check.
Wow, I got the same one to begin with. The opening to WrestleMania Night 2, Stephanie coming out. The way she introduced Triple H really puts Vince in the back mirror. What great way to do it. Mark Briscoe at the Indy Hall of Fame. Very touching speech. No notes, just pure from the heart. And great to hear when people can do that. Mercedes Martinez as well. I didn't realize I know her as a wrestler. I didn't really know her as a person, but I thought she gave a really good speech too. Drew's family on social media playing into the story. I'm not sure if it was his brother, but he's like outside and he's like, this is BS, we're leaving. Great that family get involved with that whole story. Loved seeing Drew get screwed over again on Raw by CM Punk. So even though he's injured and can't take part, he's still a part of the thing. Always good when you can do that. Don't know if you guys saw this. This was posted. I think it was around midnight last night. I was up at a very strange hour. TNA Wrestling posted. They have some new action figures, one of whom is Jordan Grace. The Josh Alexander one looks pretty good as well. There's also Moose, and I think Eddie Edwards is the fourth one. And Brett Lauderdale, I was going to have this as my bad cop moment. Sabu did not turn up for the Hall of Fame because he didn't want to get into an elevator. Huh? But he took his money and ran. Anyway, he did. It was announced by Brett. Tonight, Sabu reached out to GCW and returned the deposit. $300. I always like to know how much those people get paid. So it was interesting. The deposit was $300. He received for the Indy Hall of Fame. I appreciate the gesture and want to thank and reiterate my respect for Sabu. I've decided to redirect the money in the form of a donation to the William Way LGBT Community Center. So a good ending to that story as well. So I wanted to make sure for people who only heard the first part that they heard the second part as well. That's it for me.
Right. Well, I was going to talk about Stephanie McMahon, unfortunately, because it was wonderful hearing the new theme song as well. But yeah, and I like the fact that, like, good thing it's not too chilly in Philly tonight. I mean, it was freezing apparently on night one, by all accounts. Wasn't night two, thank God. She came out in a quite a loose fitting outfit, should we say. I want to give Sami Zayn his flowers. Him and Gunther put on a fucking smash mouth match. What a sub main event that was. 15 minutes of amazing storytelling. Even so much to go back to the days, for the call back to their match they had way back when. Ryan, probably give me a chance to actually ask him in rebuttal what the match, what the company was, where Sami Zayn did the brainbuster on the top rope. Exactly what he did back in the indie back about 10, 15 years ago, whenever it was, when he was El Generico. That storytelling. I was so delighted. 666 days, that title means something again, thanks to Gunther. And Sami Zayn's the champion now. I can't wait to see Sami versus Chad Gable, because they're dealing with that clearly, obviously. I have no problem with that. I want to see Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn for 55 minutes. I think they could smash it out of the park in Montreal for sure. Could happen in Montreal, you know that. I'm very pleased we've got that R-Truth had his WrestleMania moment. I think no one actually believed it was going to happen, and then it happened. It was wonderful. There's three little bits and pieces. The last one I'm going to mention, though, Graham, is that Fingers turned up at NXT and scared the shit out of Booker T. Always a win in my book.
Under what come? Oh, sorry, it's not rebuttal. Watch.
No, rebuttal can start now.
Ryan's first.
Yes, Graham, Fingers was, they were promoting the new Fingers television show on Paramount Plus, and there was someone dressed up as Fingers behind Booker T. So that's it. That's all you got. Yeah, no, just holy shit. Good on Brett for being chill with a situation as awkward as it was. He seems, you know, deathmatch wrestling and deathmatch promoters get a lot of flack. That dude clearly loves professional wrestling. And also, whenever someone says, well, GCW is just blood and guts, it's like, nope. Most of the time, it's really fantastic technical wrestling. Yes, they do tournaments of rival and they do all that crap. And there's definitely some light tubes floating around somewhere. But watch any of their shows and you will see some of the best wrestling on the planet. I'm happy Sammy won, but should have been Gable. It is what it is. Punk showing up, Graham, and still being part of the show, it's fun, especially because it is highly entertaining. That whole 3, 2, 1, go to do the Claymore, and that Bugs Bunny, like, what is happening? Why can't I move? And the camera pans out to CM Punk with this big grin on his face going, ah, gotcha. It was just good. It was just entertaining. I hope Damian beats the ever-living shit out of Jey Uso, though.
I'm wondering, people who are new to the show who have no idea what you guys are talking about with the finger show. Definitely in joke right there. But yeah, it's funny. Yeah, no, there was lots of things. This week was kind of difficult. My speed check was really spiraling out of control. And I was like, I just got to leave it at this point. There was so many things we could talk about. And on every show, there was particular, like, my favorite match over WrestleMania, it's so difficult to pick. I know Tiffany asked about that. And I thoroughly enjoyed Asha and Shayna, and all I did was mention it briefly. I said that I watched it. That's how good of a week there was, when there were such amazing things, and we don't want the show to go on for 5 hours, so we had to keep it limited. But yeah, no, good stuff. Matt?
I've got no rebuttal to add to either of you, because everything you said was amazing. It was nice hearing that little bits I wasn't aware of, because it's been hard to keep up with everything. I would be remiss if I didn't mention in passing the fact that R-Truth also got a team with his childhood hero on Monday Night Raw for the first time. You know, as much as Chad hates him on the network, R-Truth is a delight. I mean, he's north of 50 now, and he's still amazing. The crowd, one of the best pops of the weekend was R-Truth winning those championships. Long may it continue. Press Wrestling's cool again. And, I mean, we've always thought it was cool, but now it's mainstream cool again.
All right, bad cop time. I think there's an elephant in the room. I just wondered who's going to talk about it first.
Good! Bad!
All right, Rhino, you got first to bat. Let's see if you want to talk about it.
And I am absolutely going to talk about the fact that AEW dropped the ball.
Again.
But it's not what you guys think I'm going to talk about.
The old switcheroo.
Oh, the little bait and switch.
You met him how long have you known this guy, Graham? He never, just when you think you got the answers, he changes the questions.
It's true. And here is what my bad cop. Last night, it was two nights ago on AEW Dynamite. They had the opportunity for what could have been an all-time great promo, and they let it slip between their fingers. Let me set the stage for anyone who didn't watch. It was announced that the opening contest would be Samoa Joe, the champion, versus Dustin Rhodes in an eliminator match for the opportunity, for a future opportunity at the AEW World's title. Now, that match didn't happen as the opener because Swerve Strickland attacked Samoa Joe during his entrance, put him through a table. Medical needed time to check on him. Okay. You know what? It was a little rushed, but okay. I'm here for it. I like it. So it ended up being the main event. Samoa Joe versus Dustin Rhodes, the natural Dustin Rhodes. Dustin Runnels. I don't know actually what he's going by in AEW. I wasn't paying attention. Anyways, doesn't matter. And due to Tony Khan's pettiness, because that's all I can assume is what it was, they missed the opportunity to have Dustin Rhodes go out on national television and go, tonight I'm going to beat Samoa Joe, and I'm going to get my opportunity at the AEW World Championship. And I guarantee, come Double or Nothing, you're going to have two Rhodes as world champion. But apparently AEW is only allowed to reference WWE if it's negative. And that pissed me off. There's a story right there. There is a storyline with, you know, the artist formerly known as Goldust going for the AEW world title and wanting to make it so there is a legacy of world champions within the Rhodes family. And I just feel like they didn't do that. And to make matters worse, they booked him like a bitch. They booked him to make him look stupid in the main event. This is a world title eliminator match. If you win, you get a world title shot. And Dustin, the face, went outside to get the world title belt in front of the referee and then had to struggle with if he was going to hit Samoa Joe with it or not. That doesn't make any sense. It makes zero sense. And I hated it. The match was fine. The storyline was dumb. Overall, I'm sure we'll get into it. One of the most embarrassing episodes of AEW programming I've ever seen. Yeah. And the matches were fine. That's the problem. All of the matches were great. But everything else. Oh, everything else.
Seems to be a regular problem.
Oh, lordy, lord. Just bad. This is real bad.
Can I, at this moment, I think on behalf of all of us, since you just mentioned Dustin Rhodes, happy birthday, young man. He's 55 today.
Oh, wow.
Well, he's 55 yesterday, as it comes out, but you know what I mean.
Oh,
happy birthday, Dustin.
But some positive out of that match. He is a Rhodes, so obviously he bled all over the place.
Of course he fucking did. Do you know what? He's going to go in a Hall of Fame one day, and rightly so.
His contract is up in September, from what I understand, and I almost guarantee he's going to leave, grab a Legends deal, go do one more run with his brother, and then retire into the Hall of Fame next year.
You watch him part of the Survivor Series team or something at War Games, you know, one last big run, retire at the Hall of Fame sort of thing. He's earned that. He's earned his last run for me. Yeah, it annoyed me quite a bit, actually, because I was aware that I thought, like, you put him over here. It's one chance. You know, his last chance is probably do it. Nope, Tony Khan didn't want to do it. I'm like,
it's not even the fact that he lost. It's just the fact that they booked him to look stupid.
If it had been strong in defeat sort of thing, like a valiant effort sort of thing. But it wasn't, was it?
The purpose of the match was to put over Swerve, which is fine. He's your number one contender.
I do get that. I do.
Whatever.
But there's ways to do it and not make someone look like, as you said, a bitch. It's so sad.
My bad cop moment, I'm not even sure it's a bad cop moment, but it had to fit in somewhere, so it's going here. So last week, Matt, when we were talking, I talked about how I was a fucking idiot multiple times, not meeting up with Becky Lynch for $40 and getting a picture, and turning my back on the collective pass when I could have got one, a very good pass. However, I thoroughly enjoyed this week, as I said in my main good cop moments, but I didn't feel like I missed out not being there at all. I thoroughly enjoyed watching the shows on TV. Now, I'm not sure why that is, though. Like, if you're trying to get me as a wrestling fan, you want me to pay to turn up to your big events. I didn't feel like I'd missed out at all. Now, I'm not sure if it's because I've ever done it before. And we talked about this WrestleMania was not such good value as the one that we went to. We got to see a longer show at a less price in a better location than I possibly could have done this year. I'm also wondering if it's because I'm getting old as well. It was like, oh my gosh, if it finishes at this time and then I got to drive back home. I don't know. 5 years later, if age is a factor as well. Not sure if it's me being thrifty as well. When Snoop asked, are we ready for the main event? I honestly thought, is he high? I was like, it can't be the main event already. That show's too short. I honestly thought night two was going to be longer than it was going to be. I thought, having seen how long night one was, I assumed night two was going to be a similar length. And it seemed like it was an hour shorter. I'm not sure. It just seemed like I was kind of surprised in terms of bang for your buck. Watching it on TV, no problem. Loved it. Loved the length of the show. But as a paying fan, I'm not sure. I know you got The Undertaker, which you didn't expect. I know you got all those cameos. I'm not sure if it was enough. And since this week has passed, once we hit Monday, I have not felt the need to go back and watch any of those shows that I missed. There's some amazing shows out there. People have been recommending, hey, you got to watch this, you got to watch this, you got to watch this. I don't know. I'm feeling a little burnt out. I thoroughly enjoyed all those shows I listed in the main section. But once Monday's passed, I'm like, eh, I'm good. But I don't know. I don't know if that's a bad comment or not. I don't feel like I missed out by not being there in person. I feel quite happy with having just watched it on television and seen it live on my screen right in front of me. All right, tell me why I'm an idiot, even though I know I am.
I'm not saying an idiot, Graham, but Snoop was doing the second match, technically the third match of the night on night two.
So he came in and asked at one point, though, are we ready for the main event? And then it went
because he came in before the main event to announce the attendance.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
So I skipped over that part.
I was like, hold on, I didn't know the card. And I assumed, I was like, there has to be another match first, surely.
See, after Bayley beat EO, I went to the loo. And when I came back, they were doing the promo package for the main event. So I actually didn't know Snoop had actually appeared at it. So I didn't know the attendance or anything like that sort of thing. I didn't care about attendance. I wasn't there.
I
just looked it up. And you're not wrong, Graham. You're not stupid either. However, there's a little bit of a variation. I know you love your numbers. Night two was 22 minutes shorter than night one.
That's in-ring wrestling time, right?
No, that is what is listed on Peacock.
Oh,
as in okay. Night two, oh, yeah.
So night one.
I thought night one finished about 11:15.
Oh no, 11:20. I'm sorry. Nope, this is incorrect because Peacock is a piece of shit. let me see if I can actually get useful information out of awful.
If you give me a second, I can grab the WWE Network and tell you this. Night one was 4 hours, 17 minutes, and 37 seconds.
Yeah, so about 11:15, 11:20.
Night two was 3 hours, 50 minutes, and 11 seconds. So it was half an hour shorter.
Okay. I thought it was a little bit shorter still. I thought it was more closer to 45 minutes, but...
It was half an hour shorter, according to the WWE Networks. Because it goes from, like, this is the pay-per-view, do not copy the sort of thing, to... Mm. Watermark.
Yeah.
So that's... on Peacock, it's listed at 4 hours and 7 minutes for Saturday and 3 hours, 42 minutes for Sunday.
So that's 10 minutes off of each of them. I wonder why that is.
Mm.
Maybe it's the end package. Well, I'm guessing it'd be like the end video maybe isn't part of it. I don't know. Who knows?
But yeah, so it was those tickets were very, very expensive. Night two was good, and I don't know where you talked about it, it's arguable. Is it the greatest WrestleMania of all time? I thought it was an absolutely cracking WrestleMania. It's definitely right up there. I'm still putting 17 as my favorite right now. But if having perhaps when I go back and watch them both again, perhaps I might be prepared to switch that. But it was a much better WrestleMania than I thought it was going to be.
I will say on that side of things. The finish of night two was better than the finish of WrestleMania 17.
Okay. Oh,
in my opinion.
Like I said, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like I needed to be there.
No, but if you can still feel something from home, then they're doing the job right, production-wise, for sure.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so.
Right. My main bad cop moment of the week is personal. I'm saying it's personal because I mentioned last week that Ethan Lawrence won the CXW Extreme Championship. And how I was a little bit... Like, I joked saying, like, I was miffed that I wasn't the first person to win that championship. I wasn't a wrestler, you know. But to be fair, I was hoping that so I could say that to Graham. I was like, right, I get the eye roll, okay, it's all good, okay. And, you know, I was fine with that. And then this past week, Ethan Lawrence went on Chew the Fat. What a piece of shit of a heel he is. He's a good heel. He's a good heel, Graham. He really is. He's gone full Hollywood, as it were. and guy getting under my skin in a way that no heel has for so long. But it's sort of personal now, because he was complaining on the show that, like, I like CXW saying that I'm the shortest champion in history. No, actually, Rudy Root is the shortest champion in history. I'm like, Ethan, you are the shortest. Literally. Much the same way that Jackson is the shortest podcaster of all time.
So are we talking shortest reign or shortest height here?
Well, he can't tell the difference, you see. Guy's an idiot. Ethan Lawrence deserves a slap. Paris, book it. From book it.
Oh, this isn't a bad cop moment.
I will slap the taste out of his mouth, quite literally.
Is sponsorship available for that match, just out of interest? Paris, let us know if you book it. We would like to sponsor that match.
I'm being told I'm a clown. It's not really a bad comment, but there's so little bad cop this week, because so much stuff was good. And plus, you guys already touched on stuff that wasn't good already. And I refuse to talk about the elephant in the room, as it were. Because I'm not
getting... I've got a speed check.
I don't want to give... I personally want to give it the airing, you know, that they wanted to have. Because it was a... Because, you know...
Somebody mentioned it in fan cop moment. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, if anything, true, it's a good cut moment. Tony Khan did a really great job putting over CM Punk, putting over WWE, you know, burying the Bucks, burying Jack Perry, burying himself, burying his company. You know, he did a really, really positive job for the industry by making his promotion look like a fucking joke.
I honestly thought one of Matt's bad cop moments, and it will come up in speed check. I guess I'll find out. I'll get my bingo card ready. That you were going to make a reference Will Ospreay's comment to Triple H.
Oh no, no! I wasn't giving him a time of day either.
Okay.
No, and also because Triple H didn't mention Will Ospreay, he said people who sign with.
I think he was obvious who he was talking about.
Not just
Okada, Mercedes.
Wasn't talking about
the fucking roster.
He was talking about
half the roster who's going to be probably in WWE sooner rather than later, and also
Edge, Christian, Daniel Bryan.
Let's talk about the other elephant in the room. 14 mil to do the same fucking promo every week and then have one of the worst backstage segments. Not her fault. The camera work is just atrocious. And officially confirming that she will not wrestle until Double or Nothing, which is the end of May. 14 mil.
So you'd be happy with that. You don't like it. Well, AEW can't win without with you guys. If they wrestle straight away, they're like, why do you wait till a pay-per-view? And then if they wrestle to it,
No.
Why don't they wrestle straight away?
Okay, no, like, hold on.
Whichever way they Matt, do it, you guys always piss
mute,
off.
Mute him. Just, I was mad.
Given him co-host control.
We were both mad because they wasted the payoff match. That your payoff match should be on a pay-per-view. Your debut should be as soon as you join the company. And this isn't an AEW thing. WWE is doing the exact same incorrect thing with Jade Cargill that AEW did. Squash matches. Not having her on the shows. Not having her wrestle. It's stupid.
She was on Raw this past week.
What?
She was on Raw this past week. She did wrestle on Raw.
She did wrestle on Raw.
At WrestleMania.
Yeah, and she wrestled on Raw.
Match against Damage Control?
No, but her 26-second match against Chelsea Green on Raw was.
To be fair, Chelsea Green is there for squashing, to be fair. No one minded about Karen getting squashed.
I cared because I want to see them do better by Jade than AEW did.
I do.
And so far, they're not.
I get that, but who'd you pair her with for that then?
Anyone. You've had her at the performance center for 6 months. If she can't do a fucking match by now, you got a problem.
Well, you can't. Okay, but you want to save that. Don't you want to save that for your pay-per-view when she actually has a good match? Don't you just kind of want to tease
her? Start a program is what you're getting at, I think.
Give me 5 minutes. 5 minute match. Give me something, because all you're doing, I'm looking at this from a business perspective. You've invested a lot of money and time into this person, and you are billing her as this amazing performer. Show, don't tell. That's it. That's how I look at professional wrestling. Is no different than a TV show.
About the same thing, Ryan. It's going to be, I'm expecting a massive eye roll here, but hold on a moment, okay? Okay?
So Minder, okay?
It's not Minder, no, it's Power Rangers, okay? But the analogy's the same. Some of the best series of that show is when we saw the qualities of the characters. We actually saw these. Prick.
You just reminded me I have controls.
I can also remove those controls as well.
Sorry, what were you saying that was so interesting?
What I was saying is that, and it's with other TV shows as well, one of the best things about them is that sometimes you see the attributes of those people. You see the development of people. You see the growth of characters. You see that naturally when a story is told well, which Ron was trying to get at. Some of the later seasons of Power Rangers didn't have that. We were told things about them. We never saw these things. We were just told things about them. It absolutely drove me fucking crazy because this is storytelling 101. Okay? When you're trying to build a character in D&D, for example, well, just get the whole bingo card.
Matt, you need to stop. You're not helping your situation. Graham, I want to talk Christ. To you. I want to talk
about
Graham.
Development of a video game as well. Just Graham, go for the whole.
What is okay. What's your? Shut up, Matt. Shut up. You're in timeout. You're not helping your situation by bringing up D&D. Nope. Don't care. Graham, what is your favorite movie that I've seen? Hopefully,
Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Okay.
It used to be Field of Dreams, but I came to the realization it's really Die Hard.
Okay, Die Hard. Great film. Really fantastic film. Probably the pinnacle of action movies. I think we can all agree on that. It's pretty great.
Hold on. What was that noise from you, Mr. Lewis?
Yeah, no. He's in timeout. Don't listen to him.
Exactly.
It's not standard slaves, but you know.
Anywho. So. Let's say, for example. Okay, so there's this great scene where McLean kills the dude and he gets the walkie-talkie, right?
Yeah.
And then fucking Hans Gruber is all like, I'm Alan Rickman. Rawr. And John McClane's like,
that must be the director's cut.
He's like, yo, your bro's dead. I'm here now. And then he goes, cowboy. And he goes, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And then we have a great movie ahead. So if we didn't see that scene of him killing the dude and taking the walkie-talkie, and he just walked onto the screen and said, man, it was crazy when I killed that guy and took his walkie-talkie, it would not mean anything. You need to show, don't tell is super important, especially in wrestling, because how many times have we seen a wrestler where we're like, man, they seem really good in the ring, but then you see them for 20 minutes and you go, oh, they're not very good in the ring.
Can I throw your analogy back at you? So when he
killed, can throw your anal at me, yes, the
dude, whatever his name is, did he do it in 23 seconds or was it closer to 5 minutes?
Yeah, no, see, that's not the point. A wrestling match is a scene. A scene in a movie. You know, I'll even say it's an act. If you're looking at a feud, like you look at, okay, I was going to say Cody and Roman, but that's like the Titanic director's cut with additional commentary that goes on for 7 hours after the movie is ended. But then after you listen to the 7 hours of commentary, finally, like, Rose comes out and stabs Jack in the face. And you're like, great movie. I loved it.
I mean, technically, they ruined that fucking raft. She killed him anyway.
If your first act is your exposition, so that would be that backstage brawl, that interference, that promo, whatever that pissed the other. I don't know what he's doing. He's in timeout.
Is he knitting?
I think so. that's your act one, is your setup, and then your act two. There needs to be some goddamn action in that act two. We've already had Jade's act one. We've had the introduction. We've had the Royal Rumble appearance. We've had the tag match. Like, she did all the stuff that you do on your first initial whatever. It's time for act two. And act two, this is the same shit that AEW keeps doing with Wardlow. Every time it looks like Wardlow's actually going to be a threat. Nope, we're going to do 6 weeks of squash matches again. Oh, he's a threat again. Oh, nope, back to squash matches. Also, now he looks like he just hasn't slept in 6 days. I don't know what's going on with Wardlow. I just want to see more. I'm criticizing because I care. I want to see more out of Jade. Because WWE has already done a better job than AEW at saying, look at her. Look at her and look at what she is capable of. This fucking moron. Just everything about him.
Break his podcast and quit.
Jesus Christ. All right, I'm done. I'm done talking. Matt can't be respectful to something very important. He has to play with his ding-a-ling, has to jerk himself off, wank fest 99, knock his shit over, probably had too many glasses of wine, even though he claimed he only had one. This is why you were in timeout. No toys in timeout.
I have no idea where we're up to. Is it a speed check yet? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I wanted to add Ryan another analogy, Graham's favorite rival ever, Gargano and Ciampa. Imagine if there had been squashes.
That's a bad example because Jade doesn't have a rivalry, and that's the problem.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, imagine if there'd been no build, is what I'm saying. If there'd been no build, you've got to build properly, and they built it up carefully. Them being a whole tag team, them setting up the stall out, all that sort of stuff. They literally put the whole thing with Jade, Naomi, and Bianca together a week before Mania.
And they were all cowboys for some reason.
Which made no sense.
Cowboys.
Philadelphia. Cowboys? No.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Cowboys. They're my favorite.
That was Dallas.
NLB team.
I was being sarcastic.
I heard that the Philadelphia Cowboys are going to win the Stanley Cup this year in the finals of the Masters.
I'm gonna need more fucking wine.
Yeah, luckily we're almost done.
Speed check. What do you got, Ryan?
Rhino.
Dude, I don't even know anymore. CM Punk, the whole fucking thing was stupid. Tony Khan, even when AEW fans are telling you, bro, what?
Let it go.
You got a problem. The only good thing to come out of it is I've heard rumors that Tony Khan has accepted his fate, that this was a failure, and is planning on moving on from it. That's it. There's really, in a super positive week of wrestling, the only major fuck up was Tony Khan's ego.
My speed check is, I had a very carefully scripted bad cop moment last week. Unfortunately, Ryan wasn't there. It was partially scripted towards him just to reel him back in. And I said, there's no way that Cody Rhodes is going to turn up on fucking SmackDown, do anything in retaliation for all the shit that he's put up with. And then a few hours later, fucking turns up. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. God damn it. And the episode hadn't even turned up. But this was one of the last things I wrote down. And I forgot to do it, but I remember as I was watching the end of night two, I was like, So, after he won, there was a lot of backslapping going on. People coming out, He calls out Triple H, says, Triple H, you got to come out. He says, I can't remember the other guy's name. I know you'll know. He's like, you got to come out as well. And there's people in the ring. Sammy's in the ring. CM Punk's in the ring. People weren't even in the match. Obviously, Cena was in the ring because he was involved in the match. How come all those motherfuckers are in the ring celebrating with him, but they didn't help him on when he's getting his ass beat on two nights in a row on fucking Raw on his home show? All these clowns are coming out and celebrating. Oh, look, you got the champion. He was getting his ass beat on his own show. And where were those guys at that point? Absolutely fucking nowhere. But as soon as he's got the belt, they're all climbing through the woodwork. They all want to get in there and be part of that moment. Like, I know it was telling his closing his story, et cetera, but perhaps it's me just being picky. But I was like, you fucking kidding me? Really? All right, that's it.
Okay, my speed check. Graham may have noticed that I sent a message after night one saying I was extremely annoyed about something. And I haven't told him.
Elaborate.
And I haven't elaborated for a good reason, because I can now say that it's bad cop on me, because there was a plan. I was really annoyed because end of night one, what happened? And I'm actually going to say that you guys can respond in this moment, okay? So what happened end of night one?
Rolled. I went to bed.
No, at the end of night one, what happened? What was the state of what was in the ring?
In blood rule, bloodline rules for night two.
What was the state of Seth and Cody?
Completely done.
So where was Damian Priest? Of course, night two, obviously, it cashed in then sort of thing. That's fine. But it was tailor-made. Mm. And I feel like that was a missed opportunity, personally. That's just my personal opinion. Obviously, it turned out fine storyline-wise next night. I just think that they missed an opportunity there, personally. Or at least to have him like come out and maybe truth like again gets in the way sort of thing. So it just felt like that's exactly what Money in the Bank was designed for, you know. But it's fine, you know, absolutely fine with what went down. Again, few and far between. I mean, just to reiterate, I actually genuinely thought it was going to be refilmed footage with someone pretending to be CM Punk. I mean, seriously, I've been less afraid of rats, and that's saying something. I've got a fucking phobia of them. I've been less afraid of them than... I mean, seriously, Tony Khan, what the fuck were you afraid of? Seriously. Jackson's less terrifying. Seriously. Reverse it. Jackson's more terrifying than CM Punk was in that scenario. Seriously. And Graham probably vouched for that. That's it.
Rebuttal, Ryan?
No.
All right, my rebuttal is you said you weren't going to talk about it and then you talked about it, but hey, never mind. I hear what you're saying. Like, it is the ideal time to cash in on Seth at that point, but you want to build that story with Drew and CM Punk, so you can see why they did it night two. But I hear what you're saying in terms of if you want that championship, but also I hear what you're saying, but if he's in a bad state, isn't he going to be in an even worse state, having had to have another match at that point? And whatever happens at the end of that match, then you cash in? I don't know. I can see why you want to wait a little bit longer. And, of course, your prediction was wrong. You said that he would never cash in. It would expire. And oh, what a shame. Oh, can't be right. Some of the time.
Happy being wrong.
I missed my joke. All right, never mind.
Yeah, well, never mind. I did a rebuttal to what you said, Graham, but I've completely forgotten what it was now. So it's all right. It's okay.
Keep telling you guys, you need like a little notepad right next to you. And then when something's up,
we're
you can
running
write
long
it down
anyway, Graham. So how about we go to Fan Cop then?
Do it.
Good. Bad.
All right. Fan Cop moment time. I think some of the things, it was pretty obvious what people were going to be saying. But I am going to start off with Thomas, T.S. Horror. Best cop moment, WrestleMania was class, eh? It might not always be the best pay-per-view of the year, but when it lands, it's fire. And worst cop moment, Ospreay's dig at Triple H. American Pie was out in 1999, bruv. Oh my gosh, 25 years, really? Wow. Hard to believe. Where does the time go? Matt, you got anything?
Yes. I'm going to go with Justin Time 2-1. Welcome back, Justin. We've missed you, buddy. Best cop moment. I mean, entirety of Mania Night 2 main event, I'm guessing you're saying there. Worst cop, the Buck showing the backstage footage from All In as a ratings grab. You said you were looking forward to me within the whole of WrestleMania as my main good cop moment. It didn't happen. Sorry to disappoint you guys.
Yeah. You've done it so many times, you couldn't keep doing it. You've learned your lesson now.
Rhino?
Ryan?
Sorry, I'm looking. You know who I'm looking for.
Of course, looking for the sexual chocolate that is Mr. Dan Griffin, no doubt.
Sexual chocolate? More like sexual giant wiener.
And there's an image I could die quite happy about. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Best cop moment. I took 3 days off work around Mania weekend, meaning I got to watch 26 wrestling shows totaling 66 hours in 7 days.
Fucking hell. That is commitment right there. He clearly hasn't got a girlfriend at the moment. Ladies, you know, get slide in his DMs. The keeper.
Huge dick. Worst cop moment, Cody beating Roman. So Roman can't beat Hogan's record. The bullshitting, overstuffed hot dog man remains the third longest reigning champ.
But not the longest reigning champ.
Honestly, it wasn't even because it's Dan. It's because I wanted to say the bullshitting, overstuffed hot dog man.
What you talking about, brother?
I'm going to go with his podcasting partner, UTT Rob. Best cop moment, R-Truth getting... I was going to read TP. I was like, toilet paper? Getting to team up with his boyhood hero, John Cena. Absolutely. Matt, I'm glad you mentioned that as well. It definitely was. WTF cop moment, AEW showing the Punk Perry footage. And worst cop moment, too much wrestling. Like, I'm wondering if that linked in with my... I did put interesting, because I was like, I kind of felt like that in the end. Like, I watched so much that once I got past on Monday, I was like, I'm done. I'm not watching anything else. Or if it's just, you didn't have time to, he didn't have 66 hours like Dan Griffin had.
It's easy to get burnt out sometimes. You've got to prioritize.
Sure. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot indeed. I'm going to go with High Five Tom. hashtag week late, because Tom does not read tweets, cop moment. Favorite WrestleMania for me is nostalgia, but six. First time I was fully invested in the build-up and the payoff. Plus my dad and I were sitting in a bar, I was 12, drinking MGD? What's MGD? Ryan, you're a drinker.
No, I'm not.
Well, Chad's not here to ask, so... and watching the wrestles, Mad Attack UK. I hope my hashtag made me laugh. It made me roll my eyes a little bit, and believe me, my eyes are kind of swimming right now, because you know this part was four when we started. this is my present for my mother for our anniversary. Chris and drink wine, so it's fine.
Your old initials as well.
Yeah, it's called Most Wanted.
Ah.
Like my heart.
Well, if you rolled your eyes, I don't know. I'm hoping you saw that Tom had a second good cop moment as well.
He did indeed, Graham. But that's our current tweet cop moments as Tom learned to read. As Gunther and Zayn were so instrumental in getting me back into wrestling, to see them shine on the grand stage of all is a proud fan moment. Again, hope the hashtag makes everyone laugh, as this is a one-time double cop moment. We'll let you off, Tom. Happily, sir. Rhino.
I've lost track. Let's go with Eric. Sup, Eric? How you doing? Good? Cool. Best cop moment, six-pack ladder match, where R-Truth and Miz did the hot tag spot despite no tags being needed. I also enjoyed that spot. I laughed very hard. Worst cop moment. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Best cop moment. Drew having a heartfelt moment with Seth about deserving the title, then losing the title like 4 minutes later. Oh, wait, no, that was the best part. That's what you get, Drew. You fuck around, you find out.
As is Eric, I'm going to do a little bit of promotion now. Good Card, Bad Cards is going to have an episode with Eric coming up very soon once I can figure out the baseball schedules if Coach doesn't stop switching. Because some douchebag still I'm waiting from October still hasn't got back to me so I can get his episode in. So, not you. You did your episode, Matt. Not talking about you. But some douchebag needs to get back to me at some point. In fact, I've probably got the next episode because I don't think he's going to get back to me in time. So there might even be like four episodes coming out before his one that was supposed to come out. But hey, anyway, never mind.
I'm sorry to hear that. Can you tell me who this is? Because I got something to say to them. This person is clearly a piece of shit, has no respect for you.
No respect. They're definitely a piece
of
shit.
If I were you, sure. I'd kick his ass.
I'd book that for an X-Men event, unfortunately. Oh,
and I'd book a backlash in France, Graham. I'd book you versus that guy in the main event at Bangers and Smash. I'd watch that.
The worst thing is, it's this long of a wait, and I think all he's going to do is talk about Final Fantasy, which I don't give a flying fuck about, to be quite honest. But hey, I don't know. He might have got something else to talk about. We'll see. People's Champ, JCB, good cop moment. JCB. WrestleMania 2, overall, especially the main event, overbooked yet attaining as fuck. Did you just steal from JCB? You couldn't think of anything, so you
didn't look at it.
Same words, pretty much. Bad cop moment, not from WrestleMania weekend, but TK releasing the Wembley footage makes no sense. Left a ton of money on the table waiting this long. It made no sense, absolutely.
No. I'm going to go to Glenn Abbott. You know, our good buddy who used to frequent the Volley. The Volley will be returning soon, just saying. Awesome Truth winning the tag titles is his good cop moment of the week. It seems to be a generally well-loved thing, apart from him, Chad. Bad cop moment, poor Jack Perry being made look a total prat twice. And oh my god cop moment, Cena and Taker both turning up to help Cody finish the story. Got to admit, we all thought Cena was going to rock up at some point.
Yeah.
No one thought Taker would, but nice moment.
A lot of talk about Stone Cold possibly turned up, but I didn't hear Undertaker one time.
My maths is correct here, and please forgive if I'm wrong here. The last time Taker and Rock were in the same ring at the same time was Vengeance 2002.
Impressive stat.
So if I'm right there, and I'm pretty sure that Ryan will correct me at some point if I'm wrong, or the fan court will next week.
I'm sorry, I stopped paying attention. What?
Rock Taker, last time in the ring before Mania last weekend was Vengeance 2002. They got a lot of history, though.
If you hadn't responded so quick, I was going to say you were just commenting on how Moxie sucks.
I got Moxie for WrestleMania, man. I got Moxie and I got Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
He sounds so happy.
His Moxie. That's why I was going to try and throw you under the bus.
I don't do soda very often. So two of my favorite sodas for WrestleMania weekend. Heck yeah.
Hey, we were synced up the heck yeah. Okay, Ryan, who have you got next, buddy? We've got a few more still.
Sure. Yeah. I'm just going to go SJ. Did anyone say SJ?
Not yet. No.
Good, because I'm picking at random because I'm barely paying attention. I told you, not prepared today. SJ at Carnival of Chaos, with a K for both.
Yeah.
Two Ks, though, so it's okay. You get one more K and there's a problem. Best cop moment, Cody Rhodes finishing his story. Bad cop moment, Logan Paul winning the triple threat match. It's because SummerSlam, it's in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Weird thing is, I didn't hate Logan winning it. I didn't hate it. I don't know what it is. I've grown to actually appreciate him as a heel because he's actually turning up every week. So I can appreciate it. If he rocks up every week, I can actually get on board of it. He's doing it full time. If we go away for fucking 5 months of a problem sort of thing.
I think we have two to go, but I think I'm doing the last one. Figure that one out. Figure that riddle out there. listeners. Queen of the Indies, Tiffany. Microman is taking over the spots with Alec Price, Marcus Mathers, and Nick Gage all for the win. Yeah, just so much stuff to watch. I did see a picture of Tiffany with like the TV screen on and like the laptop, and then there might have even been a third device. And there was a ridiculous amount of stuff for the indie fans to be watching. And she follows so many different wrestlers who she's interviewed as well. Yeah, I would have had a massive headache trying to do that, for sure. I think that's it, gentlemen, right?
I believe that is.
I think this is the only time we've ever censored. We always say, if you send a comment, we'll read it out, but I don't think we're going to.
No. No, not
necessarily. Yeah, because fuck them.
Yep. All right, Devil's Advocate.
Let's do it.
Good. Bad.
Sisters, brothers, non-binary others. I've had this for a long time. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate round of Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast. Myself, Graham, and Ryan will now throw ridiculous statements at each other for 20 seconds to defend as if they are the God's honest truth. Just one each this week, because we want to try and get people out of here before next year for WrestleMania. So, who wants to throw one at someone first?
I don't have any, so I've got nothing.
Okay, I've got one for you, Graham.
Okay, I am just trying to... I'm focusing more on my timer. I might be able to come up with one, but...
Okay, so the devil's advocate for you to defend, Graham, is quite simple. PCO winning the Monsters Ball on TNA this week is proof that the new guard doesn't need to actually be there. The old guard rules.
Well, you obviously know I'm a big fan of PCO. The fact that he took time out to come across to a little boy who tweeted that all he wanted was PCO's autograph, and the fact that he actually did that. And when he came back then, we talked about how old he was, and now, is this 6 years later? Something like that. Still going, hey, if you're good enough, you're old enough, so it doesn't make any difference. So PCO all the way. So I'm not quite sure that's what you wanted me to defend.
It was.
It sounds like you're giving me a softball.
It was. I was hoping you're going to start hating on Moose and all that sort of people, the young guns. You didn't. Okay. You just defended PCO, which
the thumbtacks in his mouth. Holy shit! Like, I've seen people do that before, but that was a. Did you see how many were in his mouth? Oh my god! I had to look away for a little bit. I was like, I this is uncomfortable right now, and I'm not quite sure the point of putting thumbtacks on his body and then doing his signature move from the top rope onto them. I'm not sure who that would hurt the most. I thought that would hurt PCO more than anything. But hey, it's crazy wrestling and whatever goes, right?
Absolutely. Ryan, do you have any off the top of your head?
No.
Okay, well, off the top of
I got one for you. You're going to have to cut me a little bit of slack, and you'll have to interpret, because it's not going to be quite right, because I'm doing this from memory.
Okay? At me or Ryan?
No, this is for you. Okay. But I'm hoping you can figure out what it is. If I get one name wrong, I apologize. Okay.
I've got a bit.
The biggest omission from this year's Indy Hall of Fame was, let's go with just Mr. Lawrence.
Well, Ethan Lawrence, he deserves to go in the Hall of Fame. I mean, anyone who can have a title reign last 90 seconds deserves to go in the Hall of Fame. I mean, let's face it, people have gone in the Hall of Fame for way less. Donald Trump's in the Hall of Fame somehow. How the fuck is he in? He's never wrestled in his fucking life. Mr. T, what the hell? Muhammad Ali, never had a wrestling match.
I was going to say I actually got it wrong. I'm realizing there was one comment that I know I had in my notes that I did not read out. So I'm just wondering, did I miss it as I was scrolling? Where is it? Oh, did it get deleted by accident? Wow. It was something you talked about earlier, Matt. It was the fact that things weren't censored on the first time. Now, I actually watched it from the point of view of a fan who was filming, so there was no editing out. You can give me the exact quote, but it was basically, if you think that ECW was over in 2002 because it went bankrupt, you can suck my motherfucking dick. I think was the. I was like, holy shit, in a Hall of Fame. Like, I'm thinking, when you think of Hall of Fame, you think of like Black Pie and stuff like that. I was like, holy crap. I was like, I'm guessing they're not pre-checking these comments or anything, because that was a very surprising comment, I thought, for a Hall of Fame. You obviously watched them far more than I have.
If they'd have censored Paul Heyman, doing his Hall of Fame induction speech. That would not have been fair to Paul Heyman.
I agree.
I mean,
but I did not, of all the things that I didn't expect, we'll talk about not expecting The Undertaker. I did not expect that comment from Paul Heyman. Not on a speech like that. Like, if it had been on a podcast or something, perhaps.
I'm going to say something here which you may be offended by. I'm going to apologize if you are, okay? You're the only one.
The only one what?
The only one who thought that.
It was surprised?
Yeah, no one was surprised to see him use that language. People were happy to see him use the language.
You didn't think it would have been censored?
Oh, it was censored in replays, yeah, but I didn't. But I knew he'd say it.
Oh, okay.
I knew he'd do that.
I thought that they would have like checked his speech ahead of time and go, "Yeah, you can't say that." Like, even if that's the type of thing he might say, absolutely. Did I think they would let him say something like that, or it would be allowed to go out? No, that was the part that surprised me.
Given we're going to a PG, we're leaving the PG behind, it seems now, or certainly go more TV-14. I'm not sure how far we're going with this now, but we've got blood. We can say holy shit on commentary and it doesn't get bleeped. Things like that, it's natural things. I mean, I know it's. You know, you mentioned before when I came over for WrestleMania weekend, I shouldn't say like Jesus Christ and that sort of stuff because blasphemy is a big thing in America for some people.
Weren't you guys in New York?
Yeah.
New York, New Jersey.
Yeah, no, nobody in the Northeast gives a flying fuck if you say Jesus Christ.
Well, I was going what Graham was saying, but in any case.
Go to the Bible Belt and say that. Then you might get fought by a fucking pastor's wife or something. I don't know.
It's one of those where if you can avoid it, some people take offense by it. I was more to make him aware that some people do take offense to it. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Take offense to the whole fucking Garden Gate. The fact that Michael Cole, when Taker turned up, said, like, holy Christ! Never heard him react like that before. It's the little thing that Ryan said all the way through. Like, this wouldn't have happened at WrestleMania last year. WrestleMania 32, for example, we've been reading off a card thing for the love of fucking mankind. You know? Certain things just feel more natural now. It's the reaction you would have, for example, which we would have. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. May professional wrestling continue to blossom across.
You have a DA for Ryan? Ryan's done anything.
I'm trying to think of one.
I have one, but it really needs to be off air.
I've got one for him, but
so I can add to the Christmas cracker.
But I don't want you to roll your eyes too heavily, Graham, okay? So just. But
is this for Ryan?
For Ryan to defend, yes.
Okay. What?
Okay.
Listen up.
What?
Right, so Ryan, you need to defend this statement as if it's...
Yeah.
This past week at the BAFTA Video Game Awards, Baldur's Gate 3 cleaning up was a travesty. It should have all been won by SmackDown vs. Raw 2006 with a bra and panties matches.
Absolutely. I mean, there is nothing in my mind, in this world, that could tell me that Baldur's Gate 3 is better than SmackDown versus Raw 2007, including the fantastic bra and panty match mechanics. I mean, shit. Really, what it should have gone to is Rumble Roses. Those jiggle physics, those are real gaming.
Pretty good, right? Oh. And that's part of the fact that in Baldur's Gate 3, you could have real sex in that as well.
Real digital sex.
Yes, Graham. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Most computers don't have disk drives anymore, so you can't really get in there.
That bear rode me like Seabiscuit.
Let's not bring up his floppy.
With house, and there's no floppy involved in that one, Graham. No, it was wonderful in general to see so many so many independents winning on that show. I'm not going to keep talking about games, Graham. Don't worry. But it was wonderful to see the amount of diversity.
I haven't used that card yet. Where is it?
The amount of diversity that was being shown, and you've seen that a lot of media nowadays. It's wonderful to see. I'll leave it at that. It's on YouTube, guys. Go check it out if you want to check it out. We'll be back next week, hopefully with the whole crew again, as we build towards
Backlash in France. Mon ami.
France.
Au revoir, mon ami. We're out of here.
By the way, before we go off the air, Jay White had a promo and it sucked. He's a bag of dicks. I hate him.
Ali is the verb to go, but I don't know. Probably La Boom or something. La Boom, that's it. Don't.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/